The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our recollections series today. And we're talking about a player that we hopefully have not forgotten completely about because he's a heck of a football player, Willis McGahee. And joining me to do that is Garnett West. Garnett, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Ken. How about yourself, sir?
No complaints. No complaints. Longtime friend of the show. Really appreciate every time you're on, Garnett, and talking football with you is always a lot of fun. You picked Willis McGahee. How come?
Yes, sir. Oh, so just long lineage of great backs from the University of Miami, since that's my favorite college of all time. Only one college done roll with multiple. Me and Boz, we go back and forth at each other all the time. Him being a Florida State fan, so it's crazy between us also. But yeah, just being a huge Miami Hurricane fan. When I was ecstatic. When we was able to get him, for the trade from the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. And I just knew what we were getting, hopefully we were getting after what we were going to, to talk about the timeline of him being a Baltimore Raven.
So he came out in the 2003 draft, even though he didn't play in 2003, sat out the entire season with a pretty serious injury. Really all surprised he went still in the first round, but I think 23rd, 21st, something like that overall?
Yes, sir. That was correct. Actually, it's crazy. Obviously, just want to show up, you're looking prepared. And I just remember I actually was watching a video of Mel Kiper talking about him, and just basically he was right there, right behind Carson Palmer in that draft as he was being discussed, being drafted. And obviously, as you know, in the bowl game against Ohio State, got his knee blown out. And then drop to what you pointed out in the later on in the late round first when they set him out a whole year just for recovery. And man, the coin flip was the perfect heads of all time because literally he had a phenomenal year for phenomenal career in my point of view because of the situation of what we know from his past. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
So 3 years at Buffalo, he had between 990 and 1,247 yards every season. So he certainly was very good for them. And they traded him to the Ravens. A couple third-round picks, I recall, being involved in that trade and before that 2007 season.
Yes, sir. So it was a 2007. It was a 2007 third and then a 2008 third as well with a seventh round along with that. And then obviously – later on that day after the deal, he signed a seven-year deal on top, that with us. I think the last 2 years of it was optional years, if I recall right.
I think yes, it was what I recall of it was like about 4 years and $16 million, but it might have been 4 years, $23 million. It was a big money contract for a running back, and it's one of the only times that contract, that sort of a contract, has worked out where it's been a a second contract for a player, and they still lived up to it largely. And the deal that was the underlying deal to it, the Ravens got real value, I thought, from McGahee all the way through it.
Absolutely, sir. And I look at him as a, you know, I call this a transitional back. We, you know, obviously when we got him, it was, you know, hope for the best. And we, to be honest, we got the best of what we could out of him. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, lo and behold, 2008 came around and we was able to get Ray Rice, you know, which created a great tandem, in my opinion, you know, for what we had in the backfield. And it gave, you know, pushed LaRon McClain back to the fullback position, you know, got, you know, University of Alabama alumni, fullback / running back hybrid, what we had. But it gave us a nice three-headed monster in all totality.
Yeah, that's just like the first real three-headed monster the Ravens had. They had Jamal Lewis being the bell cow for a long period of time with just a little bit of caddying from Chester Taylor. You did have, I guess, Priest Holmes and various people, Jay Graham and Ernest Biner even. But for the first real three-headed monster the Ravens had, and they've pretty much kept it since, it was McGahee, Rice, and McClain in that 2008 season.
Yes, sir, it was. Literally, during his time here, I know, if depending on what fan base you talk to, if you talk to the Steelers, you know him for the infamous Ryan Clark hit, you know, where he got hit in the AFC game, mm-hmm. in the 2008 AFC Conference game, which I know you actually called me last time we discussed this when I was actually at your house. You thought, you are one weird dude to love. That's your favorite game, Garnett? Like, and I was like, yes, sir. That's actually my favorite game. Oh, man, you're weird. I never forget that. But
it was a loss was the problem. Yeah. And they lost the AFC Championship game. To me, it's one of the, you know, the 5-7 real big disappointment games in team history. They could have won the Super Bowl if they'd gotten through that game.
Yes, sir. And that were really brought the energy within me. It's just the fact that it was a feel good story to have a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, the running game was on point. And the game when we played against Tennessee, the game leading to that, everything, the momentum was there. You know, everything, like, the feel good story about it for me. And like I said, for Willis, it was just model of consistency, in my opinion, after, you know, he was able to regain, you know, confidence in his knee. And I was watching an interview. The first couple years of him, you know, in Buffalo was all about, he was just scared. Like, and then he got the fear out of it. And I feel like that 1,200 year that he had, was his first year, mm-hmm. 1,200 plus year. It showed, like, okay, he's back. And the fact that I was also listening to a Ray Lewis conversation when the trade happened, it's like, basically, you got a defensive, a linebacker player, running back mentality. And that's how a lot of University of Miami guys carry themselves. They just carry themselves with tremendous pride back then. I can't say for now, but back then, we used to be around Bunks' group.
Is there something I don't know now? Oh, okay, you're saying the current Miami football team is not as good. I got you. No,
they don't deserve the word of you on Saturday at home.
Right. Tell you that. So you mentioned McGahee had the fine year in 2007. By the way, one of the things that I really noted about McGahee is didn't have a lot of nice things to say about Buffalo after he left the city. I talked about all he did was play video games. He didn't really have anything. There's no nightlife there or anything fun to do.
Yes, sir. And actually, is a certain trend if we want to dig into that a little bit, because literally when Willis McGahee brought that up, and then obviously Marshawn Lynch, he was drafted there as well, mm-hmm. had the same thing. Like, yeah, there was nothing to do there. And then obviously just it's all ball there, like, which is not a problem. But at the same time, when you're a person that just, you know, you're young, you're in your 20s, and you want to experience more mm-hmm. than just, you know, snow and then more snow, this is what it is at that point. Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. Is stylistically as a runner, what I remember about him is he was faster than I remember him, than I expected him to be. He showed up and he had very much a bounce to the outside, bounce to the outside, bounce to the outside again mentality about most runs. And we're talking about his goal line runs where it's a little bit different, but in terms of his running to the outside style, I really remember him not really liking to cut back as much as you might think. He really loved to bounce further and further to the outside.
Yes, sir. He was like the old school late I would say I'll say the early 2000s type of running back where they had that beautiful build. I know it's going to sound crazy what I'm saying, but they had the beautiful build, the 6 foot and a quarter height, about 210, 215, and then 220 somewhere. They're in that realm of weight, but they had good feet. Like, it's just, it was hard to find, but when you saw a batch of them like he was, it was phenomenal. Like, that's why I think I had so much love for him. I never forget how good his feet were for that size. I don't know if you remember this play, but when he was playing for us, he basically made Junior Seau do a whole 360 on the field because that's how good his feet were. I don't know. I literally have to send you that video. But like I said, one of my favorite running backs of all time, obviously, you know, being a Miami guy, Clint Portis is one of them, obviously, and Frank Gore. But he was the one guy, the unsung hero of the bunch, and his feet was so underrated to me. And I know the funniest thing, a lot of us, we have Derrick Henry on our team, and everybody knows him for the stiff arm, but Willis McGahee probably had one of the nastiest stiff arms in the NFL. And I think you already know what I'm talking about, against the Eugene Wilson of the Raiders, correct, sir?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that 2009 finale, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yes, sir. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I didn't want to cut you off there either. His career with the Ravens really defined by having that big 2007 year, then declining production as he started to share the backfield. The thing that really didn't decline during his seasons was he was kind of always the touchdown scorer. So he continued to score a lot, including, you know, being in the game down by the goal line as the Ravens ran some of the biggest jumbo packages you'll ever see that included not only six offensive linemen, but also Haloti Ngata inserted as a tight end.
Yes, sir. He literally had the terminology that knows for the end zone, always found it. And it was like, it's a beautiful thing. And I hope we get that back this upcoming year in Baltimore, where just being a former linebacker and, you know, just, you know, high school and just, you know, 1 year of collegiate level, the worst thing in the world is for the five-star back to come off the field and you see another five-star back into the field, you know, come onto the field. And that's what we had during those times in Baltimore, where I think people like really didn't realize it, you know, the transcending progression of Ray Rice. And then even when with LaRon McClain, like I said, even when LaRon McClain was playing the backfield in 08, as we all know at the Dallas game, where they both had 70 plus runs back to back, basically. And it's a beautiful thing where Willis, he was able to maintain his speed while getting older and still was able to hit those home runs. And also in those goal line yardage situations, was able to find that end zone, like you said, sir.
Great vision, I thought, down by the goal line. He really saw the field well, anticipated where he could make that cut, and was very good at it. And that's where he stopped being that bounce outside runner that I talk about. Really always kind of preferred to go one to the outside. A lot of speed backs are like that. McGahee didn't have the top tier of speed, but he did. He certainly did find a niche as a goal line runner that was really special, that he knew, he understood the dance steps of what Ngata and maybe Adam Terry or other guys who were in there as a sixth offensive lineman were trying to accomplish on the outside there. I thought that was always something I really admired and appreciated about him.
Same. I think the one quick note, sir, is the one thing about McGahee, I think he started to realize the top end speed was starting to burn away a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's when he made the transitional weight from, I want to say, 210, 215-ish, and he jumped up to 235. The last, I don't know if he really realized his 235, his body. He started to realize, like, darn, thighs look bigger, arms are bigger. That's when he knew, like, okay, if I'm going to make, you know, longevity, I have to do what I need to do. I know the top end speed ain't there no more. I'm going to make sure I get my 4.2 in Baltimore, which he had, I think, for career-wise, he had a 4.2 yards per carry in Baltimore. Yes, sir.
For 3 years after he left, went to Denver, and then for 2 years, then to Cleveland for one. But I think in a lot of ways, the Ravens kind of sucked the cream off his career. He played a fine football for Buffalo. Don't get me wrong on that. But I think the Ravens in a lot of ways sucked the cream off his career in terms of him being a real prodigious touchdown scorer. But let's talk about what it is, maybe some memories you have of him that are specific about individual plays.
Yeah, so obviously, like I said, the one play, like I said, against Junior Seau when we played the Patriots. I'm trying to remember what year of
2007, maybe. Was it when they were perfect?
Yes, sir. It was that game. It was literally that game. Just remember, he literally put him in a whirlwind, and that was a great moment for him, just to show how like the versatility of his feet. Not just a straight downhill one cut power back that that saw it like a Gus style running back, but a guy that had light feet for a bigger guy. And also, like I said, the Eugene Wilson play. Like, if you really think about a lot of his plays, it's just deceptive speed, like back end speed. And that's what really, caught a lot of people off guard. It's just like, okay, if he got to the second level, a lot of backs were like, even with Gus, like we knew when Gus got to the second level, he could break it, but you knew eventually somebody's going to get him, after the knee injury, that he suffered. But with Willis, if you really think about it, I don't remember that many people that were able to, close the gap, which was amazing when you really think about, like I said, the knee injury, him putting on more muscle, it was a beautiful thing. But like the Eugene Wilson was probably, I'll probably watch that video at least maybe 2 to 3 times a year. Man, that was a crazy stiff form. Cause he literally sent him to the sidelines on his butt. Yes, sir.
That was certainly one of my favorite moments about him. And the Ravens needed a win that day. A lot of people forget this, but in 2009 in the finale, they weren't in the playoffs. So it was probably the greatest team of the early Harbaugh era. They went 9-7. So not everybody's going to agree with me on this, but they had the best offensive line of that era. And Willis McGahee, in the final game of the year, they were 8-7. They went into it. They had to beat Miami to make the playoffs. And they went in there. They kicked Miami's butt pretty thoroughly, included 16 for 167 from McGahee with 3 TDs, had a 77-yard touchdown run that day, which is one of those good. It was a big runaway after the stiff arm is what you're referring to in that one. But, heck of a game out of McGahee.
Yes, sir, it was. And like I said, like it's when you back then and hopefully still to this moment, to this day, it's like when you imagine a running back for the Ravens, obviously we talk about Ray Rice and, the Mighty Mouse, he was. But Willis was like the perfect back to me for what we were and what we, what we stood for. And 2019, when he officially retired, he could have went to the Bills. Broncos, he had a nice, I think he ripped off like almost 1,100 to 1,200 yards on his last year with the Broncos, the last year. But he came back to us in 2019 to retire. And the one thing that he said, he's like, this is family. They treated me like family since day one. And then the moment I left and I came back here, to put my boot, put my cleats here for the one last time. So, yeah, it's like it's a beautiful thing for him, beautiful connection. How I view it, sir.
Yeah, I love to hear that about former Ravens. They come back and they say, yeah, this place was home. This is the place where I want to retire. The more that we'll do that, the better. In terms, of, it's like it's a nice recruiting inducement. You've worked in.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100%. Federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Access big savings every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And with the military your entire life, we really respect that about you as a former Marine and whatnot. But also, you know how important it is to, for the Marines to maintain their reputation as a recruiting inducement.
Yes, sir. It's just like I said, it's a good conduct type of thing. Like if you just conduct yourself across the board, you know, and show that you're just a good dude, how like it's just be a good dude across the board. Same thing, it goes with an organization or any type of, you know, like especially with the Ravens. I have yet to hear somebody of, you know, a great caliber of person say anything bad about our, you know, us, our organization as fans. And that's a beautiful thing where, you know, you hear, you know, Yonda talking to Kevin Zeitler about, hey, is this a, you know, how is it like this family? They'll take care of you from in, if you're in the moment you hear, the moment you exit, they're always going to have your best interest for you. They're never going to try to steer you wrong. They're not going to jip you. What you see is what you're probably going to get in times too. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
It kind of makes you wonder when you have a Bernard Pollard or somebody else who badmouths the organization after he leaves and makes you wonder, you know, whose problem really was it? Let's talk before we get into that. Let's talk about a few more moments from Willis's career, though. The 07 game you mentioned was the one where they came in on Monday night or Sunday night football. I don't actually remember which one it was to play the Monday. Okay.
Monday.
And in order to play the 12-0 at the time Patriots were on their way to an 18-1 season with their only loss coming in the Super Bowl. But they had a lot of trouble with the Ravens, and the Ravens were tied 10 at halftime. Willis McGahee scored that touchdown early in the third quarter to put them up 17-10. Then they tied it up again. Then the Ravens went ahead again. I mean, it was a wonderful day of a wonderful night of the Ravens doing the right thing until things went wrong on that final 5 minutes or so of the game.
Yeah. You know, flags were thrown and another flag was thrown by us, you know. Like is what I'm trying to think, was it a Suggs or Bart that threw that flag? I wanna say it was Bart that threw that flag. It was Bart.
It was in that game, wasn't it? I always mistake that, and I think it was in the 2005 game at Detroit where they had all the penalties, because that a flag deserved to be thrown into the stand on that day.
Yes,
but,
sir.
He was upset.
Yep, go ahead. Sorry. Oh no, I was saying because Caldwell, I think the following play, because this would end up happening, the ref threw it, BS call. We all know. Bart picked it up, chunked it, which added on obviously unsportsmanlike conduct, you know, additional yardage, and then Rashay Caldwell, the receiver of the Patriots, caught the touchdown the following to close it out on us. But I just remember it was a great ball from us all around. One of my favorite plays is, I call it, it's a traditional play that we do all the time. Now, this is, I think we actually discussed about it at your house of how it's still being used to this day. And it's within our culture of how we use the slot, you know, the slot blitz. Corey Ivey came off free that game and just clean Brady of that game, if you remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And just to think, I remember when we went to go watch the game of the Colts, we did it again that same night. So it's just, I think Tavon Young either, I think it was Tavon Young that got the sack.
So this was in 21. When you came for the game. Yeah.
Yes, sir. The Colts game. It's just how crazy how we're talking about from 07 to 21, where it's just, hey, this is what Baltimore does. And I think we perfected it a lot coming off of the corner or the slot blitz or the nickel, whatever you want to call it.
They've really done that a lot. The nice thing about the slot blitz and the reason the Ravens have been able to do it for so long is they can drop a outside linebacker to cover and feel good about that zone being taken care of. If they didn't have those good Sam linebackers for all that time, it really wouldn't have worked as well. Two big games against Miami in 2008. The first one, he had 105 yards in a game that, if you talk to Harbaugh, he really calls it the pivotal game of 2008. So the team had dropped to 2-3. It just lost consecutive games to the Titans, which was a real close loss, 13-10, and they avenged that in the playoffs. And then the Colts, who they got beat thoroughly by, I think, 31-3 or thereabouts in Indianapolis. So really bad loss. But they came back and went down to Miami, a playoff contender. And in fact, they would make the playoffs and play the Ravens in the playoffs that year. But they really put a beating on them, 27-13 in that game. I think Suggs had a late interception return for a touchdown, but McGahee had 105 yards in that game.
Yes, sir. He did a Suggs, I want to say, like you can call it a hook zone or in the flats, where he literally just played it perfect. That's, I think that, to be honest with you, I know a lot of people love when corners get interceptions or safeties, but something is beautiful when an outside linebacker plays it so perfect and hops it as a pick six. It's just a beautiful thing. I never forget that. It's just the fact that us playing Miami is during that time, it was you wouldn't call it the Wildcat was running loose during that time for them. Yeah, they had Pennington at the quarterback, and you know, he was an intermediate thrower, so we never had to worry about the deep ball as much. And when he did, you know, we made him pay during, obviously, in the playoffs at Reed twice. But yeah, it was just a beautiful game. Yeah, and also I look at it like this, knowing that, you know, Willis McGahee is from that area. It, you know how it is. It's when you're from an area and you go home or you play a team that you looked up to, you got a little extra in the tank. And it, like you said, those stats is basically a living testament. Yes, sir.
Yeah. It came back with a 48-yard run that was late in that wild card game that really put that game away. Well, Flacco had a touchdown run after that. But Miami was hanging around in the game at 20-9. They were driving. Ed Reed got his second pick of the game. The first one everyone remembers, that incredible touchdown return. The second one was another one where he baited the quarterback into throwing that ball, undercut the receiver, and stopped another Miami drive. But they were still hanging around at 20-9, and the McGahee had a big long run, and then Flacco took it in on a quarterback draw to ice the game at 27-9 late in that game. But another great run from McGahee about getting away. And he had a very good pop to his running style that he got through that line of scrimmage, got into level two. And it really was, he knew how to finish a run very well in terms of again, he didn't get to the end zone in this particular case. He did get run down, but he got a big burst from the line of scrimmage.
Sir, I know this basically is about Willis McGahee, but when you set that second interception about for Ed Reed, I literally watched a podcast not too long ago, and he basically explained that play where this is how much field junkie Ed was. There was a running back slash. It was just a H-back that they had in Miami. That was just a special dude that can inline out the, you know, played everywhere.
Cobbs.
Cobbs. That's who it was. And he knew the moment he saw Cobbs run a particular route. I think it might have been the Texas route. It might have been that, or it was something that he came out. He basically came. You know, Ed Reed is known for, you know, doing stuff unscripted. So he basically knew it and came down, got that pick. I think he might have got a little dinged up on that play, but literally, I never forget. He explained it in a podcast with Channing Crowder, who was the linebacker of Miami. And he basically explained it to a T. I was like, man, this is one. Wow. This man is crazy.
The other interception for that game we're going to be seeing, I hope, as highlights for the next 50 years. It's one of the great interceptions of all time, where he effectively became the receiver, caught the ball over his shoulder in a way. Cooper DeJean, by the way, had an interception at Iowa, very similar. And it's the thing that made Cooper a really exciting player to me. He's done a lot of good things, but that in particular was a nice play. Anyway, Reed, not only did he basically go to the right, hopped out of a tackle attempt by Cobbs, which was the last chance they had at him. It was, you know, 60 yards behind him. It was the last chance they had. And he took the entire offense with him, and it took the entire Miami offense with him to that side of the field. And then when he cut back and came across the field, all the Ravens blocks were set up for him, and they went down like dominoes one at a time, including Pennington at the end.
Had a convoy. Yes, sir. He had a beautiful convoy all the way to the end on that right side of the field. Like, it was insane. Yes, sir. But yeah, it's like I say, it was just great memories. Like, that's why I say, like, it's so hard to, like, that whole season was just beautiful. And like I said, the Dallas Cowboys game as well, you know, obviously we had a great, you know, stance on defense, but the run game was so beautiful. Like, that whole, you know, the whole gimmick of what we had, we went there, you know, that was Dallas' last time playing at that stadium. I forgot the old name for it.
Texas Stadium.
But literally, the Texas Stadium, we shut that down. And that's one of those memories that when Willis has his grandkids, he can literally, you know, granddad, I did a little something back in my day. You know, I shut down a stadium. I was the demolition team before the demolition team came here, you know.
They had some ceremonies after the fact, and then they made it. They made the area into a place where it was the actual wording of this is a lot funnier than it is. But it's for, you know, how the highway system is down in Texas. They have to do a lot because it's very flat land. They have to do a lot to make their highways and create overpasses and whatnot. So it takes a lot more material than it would in other places in the country to do all of these clover leaves and everything they have to do. But down there, they may not have even torn down the stadium yet. Yeah, they did. They did. They tore it down. And they made it an area where they put materials for highway expansion. I just love that. it's the best place. But McGahee, for a very brief moment in time, and the last 3 minutes of this game, a lot happened, obviously, but for a very brief moment in time, had the longest opposition run in Texas Stadium history at 77 yards. And that lasted until Le'Ron McClain beat it a couple minutes later.
And that has, I'll never forget watching that game. I had a little, actually, I was like, it's my junior year in high school or senior year, somewhere back then.
And you are way too young, my friend.
Yes, sir. It was, you know, 37. It's okay. Yeah. I never forget. Deion Sanders was actually the color commentator of that game. And I just remember first, you know, Willis broke it. He said his hoorah moment. And then when McClain broke it, you have got to be kidding me. Like, he was destroyed, man. And then you just see, actually, my uncle Lorenzo Neal is literally the lead blocker of that run the whole way.
Oh, cool.
And when you see a fullback running over 30 yards a straight line, that's how you knew the play was perfect. They, you know, it was drawn up to a perfection. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So McGahee broke through. It was block for block. Everything was absolutely perfect. And on the Le'Ron McClain, I thought he put one of the great stiff arms of all time. I think it was Ken Hamlin, who later would play for the Ravens. Yes, he put him on the turf pretty well. The other thing he did is I remember him running down the field, and there's one defensive back who has the unfortunate job of having to bring down McClain, and he had blockers as well. But he got him turned around, and then he knew exactly what to do and cut it back to the other side. And the defensive back was lost at that point. Had no chance.
I want to say it was Terrence Newman, that the last line of defense that was he was like a 4-3, 4-2 type of guy. So he had the speed. It's just the fact that when you got big bodies in front of you, man, there's literally nothing you can do. It's like an 18-wheeler trapping you on a you know a 2-lane road. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. The other thing I remember, and it could have been, it wasn't his last carry as a Raven, but it was his last carry in his next to last game as a Raven, was the touchdown to put the capper on the win at Arrowhead in the 2010 playoffs. He had that nice 25-yard run.
Yes, sir. That, if I remember right, I'm trying to see if it was on the left side or was on the
other side.
Yeah, okay. It was on the left side. And I just remember, man, that goes back to what you were saying, sir, about how he had the note. It was like the Gus effect. Well, back then, but pre-Gus, because there was no Gus back then, but it's just how he can hit the line and it's still going forward. The momentum was not stopping when he knew the goal line was there. He knew how to keep his body up, keep his legs running. knew how to like basically dip his shoulder in right between the guard and the tackle or the center. It's just a beautiful thing how he was able to do that or just at will. Well, you know, yes, sir.
Any other plays from Willis's career you want to bring up while we're talking about him?
No, I think I ran through them all. I do not want to bring up the Ryan Clark. Do not. Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, sir. Garnett, always a pleasure talking football with you. You obviously are always get excited about Ravens football. I love that. And you have interesting things to say about these players. I did not realize Lorenzo Neal was your uncle. You probably have told me before and I'd forgotten, but I apologize for that. That's very interesting. Is mother's side, father's side? How's he related to you?
Mother's side. Yes, sir. Okay. Mother's side of the family. Yes, sir. So like a lot of people like... No, I never, obviously, no one never asks us for your middle name, but my middle name is Neil. Like, so it's basically to carry it on, if that makes sense. Yes, sir.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. Sure. All right. Outstanding. Garnett, tell folks where they can talk football with you online if they want to.
Yes, sir. So you can reach me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Garnett478, GARNET478. Hit me up anytime. Obviously, football's the football world for us has been a little quiet, but I think we're going to be picking up pretty soon with all the camps and all that, and then maybe the last minute signing of players that we might need for safety. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of my things main objectives right now. I think we need to follow up on. But other than that, you can hit me up anytime.
All right. Well, hopefully they get that safety they need. I really want to see that back end cover two split safety. I'm guessing is what you're looking for too.
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, in particular, if you'd like to do the recollection series with me, just do what Garnett did and send me a message on Twitter. DMs are always open. Reserve your player. I'll put it in a spreadsheet for you, and then I'll get back to you on scheduling on that. But probably do a dozen more of these at least in June. And we got a little bit of a dead period. We're going to also be doing two player series. If you remember that from last year, or even if you don't, it's one offensive player, one defensive player, and gives people a cross-sectional opportunity to talk about position groups that they might not otherwise have. Those shows are a lot of fun, and they really are the kind of the beginning to me of the season in terms of looking forward to it. So I want to get as many people as possible involved in that. I'm sure Garnett, I hope you'll join me for one of those as well.
Absolutely. I already got two guys that I know nobody's going to talk about, so we're good. Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks again for coming on, Garnett.
Thank you for having me, kid.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.